Yo, yo, this is the voice of Frylock, Kerry Means, coming at you, and you're listening to Canned Air, bitches.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I am Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today to talk about his comic Mest, which takes a creative look into the weird, wet underground of the sewer system. My God, I cannot wait to hear more about that. We welcome Jay Kalagayan to the show. Jay, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to have a really good show lined up for you today. We're really going to be doing what people who were trying to appeal to kids in the 90s were doing, and that's just bringing up gross things. Well, I don't know why it was, but in the 90s, it seemed like the way to a kid's heart was through gross stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the way to my heart right now.
Yeah, you did drink like a 20-year-old Orbitz on a past episode, didn't you? That's pretty damn gross. That thing smelled like suntan lotion.
Sure did. Copper stone. When did those garbage pail kids coming back? That was the gross thing.
Oh, they are not exempt from today's conversation. But yeah, so in a nutshell, we're talking all things gross from throughout pop culture. And I've got a fun little list here. I'm excited to hear what you guys have. And then after that, we're going to turn our full attention over to Jay and talk about Mest. But before we do all that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you want to show some love, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod. For $5 a month, you get access to the Canned Air Patreon pod, over 30 episodes on there just awaiting for you. If you got your fix here and you need more, there's where you go. Come on, $5 a month for over 30 episodes. I don't think we're asking for too much. Help a brother out. Come on. Don't forget to check us out at from 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday at RedlineRadioLLC.com. I love getting on there sometimes in the morning if I'm up, but just seeing what episodes are on and just kind of reliving things I've forgotten about because they're old episodes, you know, but a lot of fun. So check that out. And a few shout outs we want to do first. Randy, why don't you take this one?
Speaking of Redline Radio, one of our affiliate shows on there, he told me his son is an avid listener to us. So I want to give a shout out to Bryce. Who is probably the youngest listener of Canned Air that I know of. And yeah, if you learn any interesting phrases from us, don't tell your dad. So.
How old did you say he was again?
9.
9 years old. A 9-year-old member of the Canned Air Nation. What more could we ask for? Starting him young.
Just go ahead and call him the Canned Air Kid or what?
There you go. Yeah.
Canned kids. Sounds like a food drive, though. I don't know. We might have to rethink that name. But another quick shout out is, gentlemen, we got some messages on the phone.
Yeah.
Finally. And they both have come from a friend of the show, another Canned Air Nation member, Mr. Brent Umina. And the first one, this stupid phone, I'm still getting used to the thing. It appears to delete text messages after so long. So now the one I'm getting, I'm taking pictures of them with my other phone. But he had sent one a few weeks back saying he was just loving the episode, the Rampage episode, which I thought was really cool. That was a cool episode.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, then sent another text saying that he had a suggestion for a retro roundtable where... we talk, I believe it was favorite team-ups, superhero team-ups. And, man, I thank you so much for the suggestion, but I have to say we just did that in episode 343 with Debate This. So check that episode out, but maybe there were more specific rules you were suggesting on it. So maybe follow up if you had a different idea than what we covered in that episode. But again, thank you so much for reaching out. And for anyone else who wants to reach out, 614-254-3332. We're not going to answer. Just leave a voicemail or you can send us a text message like Brent did. And cheers, ideas for the show, anything. We want to hear it. Again, 614-254-3332. Gentlemen, what am I forgetting?
I think we got it all.
I think we got it.
I like that. Let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
Get it, buddy.
right. The grossest things we can muster up from throughout pop culture. Jack, kick us off.
So one of the first things came to mind was an episode of South Park. I mean, there's a lot of gross stuff in that show to begin with. But right. One really, I can't remember exactly what was happening. I ended up finding what episode it was. It was in season 3, though. The episode that had Korn in it, the band.
Oh, wow. And they that were was an talking. Old one, yeah.
Yeah. They were something to do with necrophilia. And there was like a doctor on the show that was like the news article or whatever. And he was talking about the sound that it makes or something like that if you were actually having sex with a dead body. And he was like, it's like taking your hand and shoving it in a bottle of mayonnaise. And there was a guy in the background just doing that.
Oh, my God. Is there anything they won't do when it comes to South Park? Gross things. I mean, you remember the episode where they found out it was healthier to eat through your ass and shit out your mouth. So they were shoving food up their ass and they'd just be in the middle of a conversation. Be like, so, yeah, anyway, it was 1 second. Oh, it was disgusting. Maybe we should make that a goal with this retro. Maybe we should try to get one of our listeners to physically vomit. If not one of us here at the table, someone listening. Maybe that should be our goal today.
Trying to go into super detail. Let me go get a bottle of a mayonnaise real quick.
Oh, shit.
Sit here and fist it real couple times.
I think the word mayonnaise is going to come up quite a bit in today's retro, too, because reason, mayonnaise is just gross in itself. I love to eat it, but by itself, I mean, I wouldn't like sit down with a spoon and eat the shit. Gross.
Oh, God. No, yeah. That's one of the one
thing. Did I get you, Jack? You going to throw up?
No. Oh,
fuck.
Just the feeling out. It's just oily. If you imagine putting your hand in that stuff, ugh. I don't think it washes off really easy. You just sit there with greasy hand after.
My God. I just got the best idea for whoever loses the next trivia game. You're putting your hand in a jar of mayonnaise.
Yeah. Oh my God. Hey, it's got to be helmets too, not like Miracle Whip, because that's totally different.
Then you have to go wash the hand off with only water, not soap, and then you have to sit and smell your hand the rest of the episode.
You can walk over and touch your window in the studio.
There's just greasy hand streaks on fucking everything.
Just sit there for the rest of the show with your fingers underneath your nose, so that's all you can smell.
Oh, how horrid. How horrid. Ugh. All right. That brings us over to Jay.
Do you remember Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
Oh, yes.
So you got Jim Carrey, and he finds out, and I'm not against anyone who is trans, but he finds out that the person that he was kissing, the villain, was male. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But his reaction, where he was like pouring soap down his mouth and just making the throw up out and being basically
plunger on his face.
Yeah.
Oh, and the blood. That I think the plunger was worse than the kiss. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah,
no shit.
Was that a clean plunger? You know, that kind of thing. So so that was like this gross out moment when you were a kid. You're like, what? And a kid watching Jim Carrey movies. So there you go.
Right. Well, the best part of that first movie, which is the only part I like laughed my ass off at, was at the end where he's like trying to do like the Scooby-Doo reveal. Uh-huh. And like he's like, you know, ripping her clothes off. And she looks normal until they pan around to the back of her. And he says something and then like the entire like PD that's there, like all 20 cops or whatever, start doing the same damn thing.
He found Captain Winky.
Yeah.
But the worst case of hemorrhoids I have ever seen.
Oh. Played the Crying Game by Boy George. So
that's right. Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anyone who chooses that lifestyle or is trans at all.
Right. Agreed.
It's just the reaction that was just, as a kid, that was just classic.
Yes. Well, Louis Einhorn is a man. Oh, God.
It joins the rank of Blazing Saddles as being horribly insensitive.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
All right, Randy, take us there.
Early, mid-90s, I'd say, my brother and I used to, more so Scott, used to collect Beanie Babies. You guys remember those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How could I forget?
So I being the older brother, used to always be like obsessed with these knockoff Beanie Babies. They were called Meanies or Meanie Babies.
Bleenie Bornies.
But these things were like, they were joke Beanie Babies, but they had like one, it was called like Quackers Didn't Duck or something, and it was like a duck, but it had its head cut off, and you see like blood spurting out of it. There was one that was called Splat the Roadkill Cat, where it was like, and these were like Beanie Babies, but they were done like very cartoonish, where like one eye was popping out and stuff like that. They had like a whole line of them. They even got into some celebrities. They had like a Bill Clinton, where it was Bill Clinton half bull, like with his pants down around his ankles. It was it was amazing.
Wow.
But I never was able to get any because my mom and dad were just like, no, you're not getting that. You're not bringing that in the house. So, yeah, I'm going to have to track some of them down.
If you had a younger sister, more than likely you'd be making your own.
True.
And Blorney Blamies.
What was that?
It was damn what are they? Blorney Blamies?
Bleeny Blornies? Yeah, I never... got into the Beanie Babies at all, but I think if I had known about them, maybe I'd have been a little more interested.
Yeah.
But all right, what's on my list? The first thing I've got is I don't know if any of you guys have noticed in the past 3 to 4 years, but people's obsession with watching other people pop their zits and blackheads on YouTube and
Health
Channel and shit has become quite the rage. There's quite a lot of people that like that. And I don't fucking get it, man. I don't get it. But
same here.
Is there a distance, a range, like how far it'll splurt out? And
oh my God. I mean, I've seen some of these videos before, and there are just some people that just, it looks like you're stepping on a bottle of mayonnaise and the shit just goes everywhere. I'm like, oh my God, how are you sleeping with that shit on your face?
I think you guys need a mayonnaise sponsor. I think.
Right.
We bring it. The episode brought to you by Hellman's.
The Miracle Whip canned air.
Everybody's always wondering what's actually in the can. I think we might have an answer now.
Miracle Whip.
But you know, I think I can maybe kind of meet these people halfway, because you know, like when I have my own blackhead or zit, say, I mean, it doesn't gross me out like watching someone else on YouTube pop theirs, you know. I mean, I can even get into it. I'll light some fucking candles, turn on some mood music, and make a night of it. I really will. But when it comes to someone else's, you know, it's I guess using your own plunger to plunge your face after kissing a transvestite. As long as it's your plunger, it's good. You wouldn't go using the neighbor's plunger, though.
No, just another Saturday night.
You know, what are you doing
this weekend? Just sit, pop some zits.
Well, that's what it comes to. I'm building all this to a product that's out there. Maybe some of you guys have seen, and I think this really appeals to the bubble wrap people. But you can actually get sheets, like flesh tone sheets zits that you can just sit there and pop.
I've seen those.
Yep.
I don't know about all that. I mean,
what happened to bubble wrap?
Bubbles aren't filled with mayonnaise, Jay.
Oh my God.
That's the secret.
Sponsored by
Miracle Whip.
We really lost our infatuation with bubble wrap just to sit there and pop bubbles that they actually have to erupt with something yet.
I guess. They would have to be horribly inexpensive for me to be like, hey, I'll try one. Because, I mean, how quickly are you done with this damn thing? And then what? You're just covered in mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we talking about again? No, I'm just kidding.
Once again, brought to you by Hellman's. Anything else on popping zits, gentlemen, before we move on?
Oh, my God.
All right, that brings us back to Jack.
Well, it's coming into summertime, or is it summertime yet? Either way, fair and carnival times upon us, which comes with all kind of deep-fried food. Oh, and one thing which is completely appalling to me, and I do not understand it, is the deep fried sticks of butter.
Oh good Christ.
Yeah.
it doesn't make sense to me, because I don't know. I mean, I've looked at videos and it looks like a corn dog, but usually when you bite into a corn dog, there's a hot dog. butter melts. So is it just a pool of butter? I mean, are you pretty much bite the end and drink it?
I've always wondered the same thing about deep fried ice cream, because like, how the fuck you do that? It would just like dissipate as soon as you go to deep fry, right?
Yeah.
What's the secret?
It's hard, but it just doesn't make any sense. And it sounds wretched. I don't know.
Oh my God. Just walking around the fair and smelling the foods almost makes me want to vomit. Like the deep fried vegetables are the most horrid thing that I haven't seen the deep fried butter, so maybe that would take first place for me if I had, but man, those deep fried vegetables are disgusting.
I worked for a summer at a festival frying deep fried vegetables, so I can't even go past that shit anymore.
Oh,
I have to walk way out and around. Ugh.
I want to see the lab where deep fried things are discovered. I'm sure it's they got their lab coats on and you know, there's scientific empirical evidence on deep frying and what works and what does not.
And deep fried ice cubes, not a success. Grab that Twinkie.
We're seeing the successful, you know. Yeah. These are the successful experiments. Butter, corn, whatever they're fried. What are the failed experiments? Is it deep fried mayo? I mean, is that...
I guarantee you...
Stole my joke.
Guarantee you there's someone who would eat it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take another mayo stick, please.
I always thought deep fried pickles would be horrible, but those are actually pretty good.
Those are really good.
Yeah.
Zucchini. Zucchini's good.
Yeah. I could go for zucchini.
Pickles are Satan's penis. I hate them. Horrid things. Born of vinegar. Another gross thing in this world. Right up there with mayonnaise in my book. See, but I'll eat mayonnaise. Fuck vinegar.
All right, Jack. Next time Jeremy loses something, he's dipping a pickle in mayonnaise and eating it.
Then washing it down with pickle juice.
That means you have to come up with the game then, Randy.
Oh, I can do that.
Boom. All right, that brings us back over to Jay.
All right, so this is from my culture. I'm Filipino, and it's called a balut, okay? Now, imagine you get a hard-boiled egg, and you're like, all right, great, hard-boiled egg. And you crack it open, and as you're about to take a bite, you see beak, maybe a wing.
Oh, my God.
You see pretty much an embryo of a chicken or a duck. This is a delicacy in a lot of Asian countries, especially in the Philippines. I've had it just to have the experience. And I mean, yeah, it's basically, imagine an egg pretty much almost about to hatch. You hard boil it. Oh. Then you eat it with salt and a few squirts of lemon juice.
Nope, I'm out.
So you're talking like baby bird, beak, legs and all?
Pretty much, yeah. It's
I mean, I've cracked the egg and there's been a blood spot in there before, and that's just enough. I can't go much farther than that, let alone... That's always been a fear of mine, is actually cracking the egg and the bird falls out.
Oh, yeah. No, this is... it's the delicacy. It's supposed to fall out.
Oh, my God. I think we have a new punishment for the loser of the next trivia. Screw the mayonnaise jar, man. You have to eat the hard-boiled baby birds.
You got to do balut, and you got to kill it with some mayo, and that's what you got to eat.
I'm just going to resign now.
What's that crunch? Oh, that's beak.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We just got to make it as gross and as morbid. First, you have to kill the mother. Then you have to boil the egg. Oh, my God. This is good. I think I might be the one that throws up. Jiminy. All right, Randy.
Oh, hang on, I gotta recover from that one.
Oh my
God. All right. So back to the 90s stuff. When I first got internet at my house, a bunch of my buddies and I were like finding like all these random websites with, you know, these little like flash games, flash players, stuff like that. And I came across a website called Wave Hounds. With a little thing called the fart machine. Any of you guys heard about this or have any experience with the fart machine?
I used to have like a little, it was like a tiny little speaker you could put in your pocket and had a remote control you could put in your front pocket. Boy, did I pull some boners with that thing.
This was actually a program that ran in Windows, and it like had like all these little sound clips that were like pre-programmed, and they would take like, you know, Commander Kirk and have him like talking and splice it in, or like Homer Simpson, stuff like that. It was juvenile and pathetic, but I used to turn my speakers up as loud as I could and just blare that shit.
I don't understand. So it'd be these characters farting? What's the sound clip of?
We could probably splice it in right here because I've got it.
Just play it through your microphone. It'll save me a ton of fucking work.
All right, let me see if I can do that.
I'm just thinking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get to the chop up.
I see. That would make sense.
Shit, I don't know how to do that. Sorry.
That works. No problem. I mean, just... That's a fart.
Yeah. Actually, I've got the program. I'll just send you guys. How's that?
Even better. All right. Anything else on the fart machine?
Nope.
Okay. My next entries are coming from the Star Wars universe, and I'm going to mention these on top of each other. The first one coming from The Last Jedi. You know, how many fuck yous did Rian Johnson give us throughout that movie? He might as well just had a bunch of middle fingers wearing Jedi robes and sabers dancing around the whole thing. But probably one of the most cringeworthy things. What, you know, other than C-3PO and R2-D2 being in every Star Wars, what's another little staple that's always in Star Wars to the point that it almost drives you nuts because you're like, do they have fucking anything else to drink here?
Blue milk.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what's Rian Johnson do? Turns it green. And not only do we have to now know there's green milk and this movie won't contain our blue milk cameo, but we have to sit there and watch Mark Hamill drink it straight from the teat. And the worst part about it is he takes a big gulp. He turns to Ray with shit just running down his face and just kind of gives a nod to his head. It's like, fuck you. You know? Oh my God, it was so disgusting. I just thought, why? At least make it blue.
But I don't understand. He drank it out of a bottle and why it was all dripping down his beard like Rick Sanchez drool coming out of his mouth.
Been a fucking minute since he had some green milk, apparently.
I guess.
Either that or just showing off for her, like, look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You're used to that pasteurized shit? I'm drinking straight from the teat.
Yeah, I was just sitting beside myself in that part of the movie went on. I was just like, why?
Because fuck you, Jack. That's why.
I'm curious if anybody's actually made like a got milk meme out of that yet.
There's gotta be.
Yeah, I'm almost positive I saw something like there's that.
Okay.
I can't imagine that went unnoticed. And then my second Star Wars gross out moment would be in Empire Strikes Back. Now, when Luke is dying, you know, on Hoth after being attacked by the snow monster and Han finds him, you know, he slices open the Tauntaun and he, you know, shoves him in there. And, you know, there's been a Star Wars debate, and I don't know if this is like a huge thing, but I know I've heard multiple people debate it before. They're like, did Han get the fuck in that thing with him, or how did Han survive the night? And I think if you go back and look and pay attention, you know, the next morning when the speeder finds him and goes by, it looks like he has might be a little pup tent there. But I thought, you know, why would such an obvious detail go unnoticed? It's because the second he slices that gross fucking animal open and all those intestines start popping out.
Yeah.
And he's talking about pushing Luke in there. I just start debating. And the next 2 minutes of the movie go blank on me because I'm just thinking, I think I'd rather die in the fucking snow. I would rather submerge myself in a jar of mayonnaise.
I think there was a little bit of mayonnaise mixed into what came out of there if you look at it, right?
Oh, bad.
It looked like calamari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kudos to the special effects team because it looked like a jellyfish or I don't know what it was. It looked amazing and gross at the same time.
I always thought that he took that out and put it on Luke so he didn't freeze, but until I was older and learned on how actually everything
just
works.
Tucking him in with intestines.
Yeah, until I saw that actual Tauntaun toy and the Luke figure laying inside halfway of the Tauntaun, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. That's a hell of a time to regain consciousness.
Yeah, really. What am I in? What the fuck?
What is this, fucking macaroni? Where am I? Gross. All right, that brings us back to Jack.
How have you guys always dealt with, like, gore? Is there ever, like, a lot of movies that you guys really got kind of queasy looking at? Because I know if any of you guys ever seen Evil Dead, the first one?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
At the end, when the last Deadite, I can't remember details very much because it's been so long since I've seen that movie, but, like, the very last one that dies or something like that after they, what, close the book up or something, there's just, like, this huge, what is it, like, 10 minutes long of, like, every single thing that they could think of that was gross in this thing when it was deteriorating. Like, mm-hmm. It melted away and then molded all over the place, and, oh, my God, just picturing it just... It always turned my stomach. I don't think I could really watch it at all, just the whole way through, because they just threw everything in there.
Yeah,
that or like that. Bringing back what was the movie with Kurt Russell in the snow?
The thing.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of grossness coming in there, and the one that comes to my mind is when the guy's head is being pulled from his body, and you just see like tendons and veins, and they're all oozing and popping while his head gets pulled off his body slowly too. It's not a fast pull away. It's slowly being pulled from his body.
I gotta say, here at episode 350, it's become quite apparent that the thing has left quite a fucking mark on you, because I can't tell you how many times you say something about this movie.
It's at least dozens.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just like coming together, like, wow, the emotional scar on this guy's soul from the thing.
And the thing is, I watched it when I was probably 8.
Oh,
and didn't bat an eye. And then years later, watch it again and really couldn't watch it that much.
I would say that probably wasn't a good idea, but we have a 9-year-old listener, so who the hell am I to cast judgment?
Bryce, go watch the movie The Thing.
Maybe wait a few years, Bryce.
You don't end up like Jack.
Yeah.
The thing with Kurt Russell. Don't watch.
Yeah, not that new one from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. Very good. That brings us back to Jay.
Tremors. So the movie Tremors, it's a funny, disgusting moment where they first, where they're trapped on the rock and they blow up one of the worms, and everyone's cheering, and then all of a sudden it rains worm body parts. That was hilarious and disgusting at the same time.
Ugh, yeah.
You never think about that coming down part.
It's
gone. Cool. Mission accomplished. Plop, plop, plop.
Best sound effects, too. That was superior sound effects.
I believe the sound effects was big flops of mayonnaise being dropped on the ground.
Mayonnaise and chopped up pickle.
Yeah. There you go. Boy, I think also we might have a title for the episode.
Speaking of good, like, monster explosions, you guys remember the Galaxy Quest scene where they're trying to do the transporter or whatever, and they transport the, was it the he called it like a pig hog or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They transported it inside out, and the one guy's like, it's inside out, and it exploded.
Oh, my. I don't need to watch that movie again. It's been too long.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
All right. That brings us back over to Randy.
All right. So back to the gross 90s toys that I had growing up. Do you guys remember or ever have had an experience with Dr. Dreadful's food lab?
Oh, yes. I do remember that growing up. Okay. I never had one, but I remember seeing the commercials for it.
Yeah, I got one of those for, like, Christmas and then forgot about it for a while and then found it, like, the next summer and thought it would be a good idea to, like, mix everything together.
I drank a 20-year-old Orbitz. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, it was just priming me for that. But, yeah, it was, like, you could, it was like really shitty Jell-O essentially, because it like congealed and it was like you make like bug molds and all this other kind of crazy stuff. But yeah, it was they actually came back out with it, and I got one of the new re-releases for my son last Christmas, and we did it. It was the bug lab, so you made like these little Jell-O insects and stuff, and it was cool for like 5 minutes, and then we were over it.
Yeah, I had the creepy crawler machine, and I think there were things that you could get to make edible insects and stuff in that machine, but I only ever had the, you know, the little rubbery things that, you know, would scare my mother and sister with.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
You would not want to mix up those two chemicals. Can I drink this one or not?
I think it became pretty apparent, because I think even as a kid, I had tried, you know, just kind of chewing on one to test its durability. Like, how strong is this spider? And I think you would be able to tell pretty quick this was not a gummy. All right. And that, let me see. Anything else on that, Randy?
Nope.
I'm trying to debate what the last thing I want to bring up here is. And I guess this isn't really pop culture, but damn, is it gross. It's, have you guys ever heard of body farms?
Yes.
They're like centipede? What is that?
What it is you can donate your body to science and like criminal investigation. And what happens is when you die, then your body goes to this facility and they will use your body and they test its decomposition in several different scenarios. So like one body, they'll just throw out in the grass. And they'll monitor it for months, untouched, just watching it decay. Another one, they'll put in a barrel. Another body, they'll put in a trunk of a car. And they do this just, again, for all forensic research and stuff. But I was listening to an episode of Criminal. But
hey, there's a lovely YouTube documentary on body farms that you can watch for free.
Is there?
Yes.
But, yeah, in that podcast, she took a walk through there, and she was just describing what she was seeing. And it just sounds, so fucking gross. But at the same time, if anyone come up to me and said, hey, you want to visit a body farm? I'd be like, oh, yeah, let's go. I can't explain it.
For me, I would get close and hit the smell would hit you and might be like, no.
Oh, I'd definitely be like putting some fucking, what's that stuff you put under your nose? Vicks Vapor Rub or whatever.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead.
We're going to open this barrel. Here's some human soup. Take a look at this.
The smells are what always get me, but
it would be gross. It would be a memory that would last a lifetime. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. You only have to go one time.
You know, I think I want to go back. No, don't see that happening.
I don't think there's any school tours of body farms.
No. And I guess it's like was even like quite difficult for her to get in there. Like they do not let anybody in, understandably. But, I think I would accept that offer if I ever got offered. But one quick thing we need to touch on before we move on. I didn't mention it because I thought it might come up in one of your guys' lists, and it did come up at the very top, was the Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And this was really, Garbage Pail Kids were firing on all cylinders. Because, like, you know, we were saying earlier, you know, for some reason, marketing gross things to kids in the 90s was just it. I mean, even remember in like Nickelodeon Guts, they had a big nose you had to dig around in through the boogers to find the flesh and shit.
Yes.
As much as I wanted to do that, I thought, gross. So you have the gross thing happening. This is coming on the tail of the Cabbage Patch Kids popularity, because Garbage Pail Kids looked just like Cabbage Patch Kids, just in gross scenarios. And the third thing they had going for them was they were hitting in the trading card collecting era. You know, these people were collecting cards out the ass. Even if you didn't care about what was on the card, you were collecting it. So, and just each card had one of these garbage pail kids in gross scenarios, either vomiting all over itself or just, it's hard to, I can't even remember, but if you just look them up online, you'll see some gross shit.
I was flipping through looking at them while we've been talking, and there's one that kind of goes with one of your picks tonight, Acne Amy. Nothing but zits, white head zits all over her face.
You know, I think
they stuck with like above the waist grossness, like boogers and throw up and pimples. Yep. There wasn't like any STD garbage pail kids.
Those are garbage pail teenagers.
Oh my God, the STD garbage pail kid. I kind of want to see what that card would look like, to be honest with you, Jay.
They're growing up.
Well, maybe we garbage pail kid needs to get back on the ball, because it seems like right now would be the great time to market the Acne Amy doll, where you can sit and just pop her little zits, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Copyright canned air. If I see that shit on the shelf, we are going to court, people.
Patent pending.
And with that, let's turn our attention over to Jay and talk about his comic Mest, which I'm very excited to learn more about. Jay, thanks again for being here with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hope you're having a good time thus far. And again, the description for this comic, creative look into the weird, wet underground of the sewer system. Can you tell us and the listeners about this comic?
Absolutely. So Mest is the nickname for the Metropolitan Sewer District. Mm. And it features a sewer worker. Her name is Lily Putt. And she is kind of our tour guide to the weird, wet, wild world beneath our feet. It's I would kind of describe it as Tremors, because we talked about Tremors earlier. Tremors meets Tank Girl, or Tremors meets Hellboy kind of book, you know?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, so I really wanted to do a comic book where if people said it was a piece of shit, I could spin it like a compliment.
Well, of course it is.
No, but really, it's I think anyone, I've been collecting comic books since I was 9 years old, and I got a lot of long boxes in the basement. And I think anyone who collects comic books, they always have wanted to either draw or write a comic book. Right. Just like anyone right. who like watches a movie or a TV show, like I could do something. And it wasn't until my 40s that an idea just really clicked. There was a treatment plant near, I used to work for the Cincinnati Museum Center, and there's a treatment plant, Metropolitan Sewer District's Queensgate plant, treatment plant. And I got to tour it. And there's just so many dedicated men and women who are taking care of all our wastewater. I mean, here in Cincinnati, we're talking about 1 billion gallons a day. We're talking about thousands of miles of pipes. And they are clearing it, they are cleaning it, and we don't know a damn thing about it.
They're like the Men in Black, but maybe like the MIP rather than the MIB.
Nice.
That's really cool because when I was reading that line I've read a few times already that you had on your website, the creative look into the weird wet underground of the sewer system. You know, when people are writing stories, there are realms you can go to where you can have total freedom. You know, like say if you write a story that happens on the moon, you have more liberties there than writing a story that say takes place in the middle of Manhattan. If that makes sense, because there's no real does that make sense what I'm saying? Or just in space in general, or like the deep ocean, places we don't go, we don't get to, so we can take liberties with them because our eyes don't see them. You know what I mean?
I think in my writing, I like to work with an element of the familiar. Mm-hmm. And we have this great system below our feet. We don't know anything about it.
Exactly.
And we're really dependent on it. So, I mean, we all flush our toilets. We all, like, wash our vegetables. We all, like, do our laundry. And we contribute to this system every day. And I love the idea that we don't know very much about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's another one of those realms unexplored that you can just take so many liberties with that not many people have. I mean, other than the Ninja Turtles, but I mean, I can't think of many others that explore the world like you do. I was looking on your website at the free, there's a free comic, like a chapter one that you can check out, and just was loving what I was seeing, absolutely loving it.
Yeah, we've been working on the comic book since 2016. We have two seasons. And in this time of COVID, we decided to make the second season free online as well. So if you go to our website, you can read seasons one and two. And at this time, we are working on our third season. And that's with Dylan Speak. He's our main illustrator.
Nice. I strongly urge people to check that out because it was a cool read. And I understand that you have a Kickstarter coming up or either coming up or already started.
We did a GoFundMe a couple of years ago for our season two, and we were able to successfully fund that. We are currently not doing any kind of fundraising there. We just honestly, we just want to spread the word of MEST, you know, whether you're going to Instagram page, whether you're going to Webtoons, whether you're going to our website, and just getting the word out about this comic. There's a lot of great indie press books out there, and I think it takes people a lot to move from the familiar and try something new and move away from that mainstream, you know, these are the comics. I love my Marvel and my DC too, but, you know, try something different. Try some indie press books. There's a lot of men and women out there working their asses off, doing some incredibly creative work.
It's not always about the superheroes. There's a lot of the indie stuff that's not about heroes and stuff that's really good.
Yeah,
it's more interesting. Yeah, much richer.
I grew up on my superheroes, but there is something to say about with MEST, especially the main character Lilliput. She's kind of like that Hellboy archetype, where like she's just doing her job. She's just keeping the flow. She's dealing with these different creatures that she finds under the ground, but in the end, she just wants to finish her shift, have a beer, have a smoke. You know,
and who can blame her?
Nice. Yeah.
Who could blame her at all?
What do you see the future for her and your comic MEST? Like, where do you want to take it?
So we're working on the third season. It's half illustrated right now. So we'll probably launch that in November 2020. And honestly, I know, like, I definitely have beginning, middle, end, but it will really never end because the sewers are always necessary, you know?
Right.
And there's Dylan, the main illustrator. He always says civilization was built on two things, the written word and working sewers. Because if you don't have working sewers, most civilizations will collapse because of disease, as we are feeling now. So, yeah. And also my inspiration for the book, my daughters, I wanted to create a strong character who happens to be female, who happens to be Asian. And one of the benefits of that is I get to take my daughters with me to the comic book store, and they get to see someone who looks like them on the shelves.
That's awesome.
Nice, yeah.
And I feel like that kind of inclusion, that kind of diversity is really essential now.
Yeah.
And that inspiration keeps me going to keep telling stories like this.
Cool. What a cool story. I really urge people to check it out, too. There's also on your website, you have a video here, like a quick animated short of MEST. Yeah. People wanted to check that out. You know, it's kind of a glimpse of the comic, a good view in.
So Dylan Spieg, he's been toying with animation. He did a video, and it's to the music of his band, Heavy Hinges. And the song is called Miss Right. And he animates his artwork, which I think it just really shows how talented he is. Because you remember that Do the Evolution Pearl Jam video? That was like an army of animators from Asia working on that. And our video is just Dylan and 6 months of work. So he's so talented when it comes to those kind of things.
And again, I really urge people to check that out. Maybe we can find a way to link that on the website or something.
But, I should be able to get that on the website.
Yeah, cool.
You can go to the website. It's MEST, MESSED Comics, comics.com.
There you go. And where else should people check you? I think you have an Instagram handle, right? MEST Comics?
Yeah, it's at MEST Comics. We're Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're working on that TikTok. We're going to... Actually, I have no idea how to do it. I mean, I was like, am I going to have people dance? I have no idea. So, but we're working on that TikTok, and we'll be on Webtoons soon as well. So a lot of great opportunities to find us, and it's very accessible, and it's free to the public. Go check it out.
The best kind of thing, especially right now, like you were saying, during this quarantine and stuff, a good place, you can just go read some comics, and good comics at that.
I think you need to read something. I forget what podcast I was listening to, and they were talking about, one writer was talking about how you should read something, watch something, and write something every day. And my caveat to that is new. you need to read something new, watch something new, and write something new, because I have a habit of watching Big Trouble in Little China over and over. And
nothing wrong with it.
Oh, you and Jack just became best friends.
That is a great movie.
You know, or if Tremors is on basic cable, I don't think I'm changing the channel. You know, I'm watching that.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll have to. I hope I get the invite for the Jay and Jack Big Trouble in Little China watch party when that goes down, because that sounds like a great time. But Jay, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing your comic with us, man. This has been one hell of a fun episode. We'll have to get you back in the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Jack, what have we on the website?
You go over to cannedairpodcast.com. You can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, buy some merch, become a patron, see some YouTube videos. And if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
There it is. And once again, on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air, Patreon.com/CannedAirPod. $5 a month gets you access to the Canned Air Patreon catalog. Give us a call, 614-254-3332. Text message, voicemail. We want to hear from you again, 614-254-3332. Gentlemen, what am I forgetting?
Tune in to your boys 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. every morning on Redline Radio. And, wake with us.
There it is. We got through the grossness, guys. No throwing up anywhere. I hope that we didn't induce any vomiting down the front of anyone's shirt while driving or at work. That would be horrible.
Or did we?
If you did, please let us know, because we might get off on it just a little bit. Just a little bit, I promise. So, all right, I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Jay Culligan.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's the Canned Air Podcast. They talking comics, pop culture, talking all that. Movies, TVs, toys, video games, man. It's going down at the Retro Round Table, man. You know we probably got a voice actor on the show. Maybe even got a screen actor, man, you never know. Jeremy going off on the Ninja Turtles, Jack's on the ticks. Randy about to make it about Randy video games, man, that's how you know this is. Canned Air, Canned Air, Canned Air.
Puppy. Oh no!
Don't run, it'll only make things worse.
Mutt!
Remember, you never want to approach a stray dog, especially one that's foaming at the mouth. Get away from the animal as quickly as you can and tell a grown-up.
Hey.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
I'm upset. I forgot to mention, I had one more disgusting thing. Do you remember The Fly?
Oh, Jeff Goldblum or the original?
Jeff Goldblum? Oh, that movie is disgusting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not even the makeup. Maybe. Just Jeff Goldblum is disgusting.
You better watch that fucking mouth.
Jay, no. You're talking to somebody that has a Jeff Goldblum pillow and Jeff Goldblum sneakers. So,
yeah, and a Jeff Goldblum action figure.
It's a testament. It's a testament to his talents. He's so disgusting in that movie
when he throws up
on the food and then on that guy's leg. Oh my God,
that was such a good movie. I haven't seen it in years. I need to watch that one again.
Oh my God, it's such a creepy, disgusting film. Yeah. And then she has the baby, and it's a worm. It's a
maggot.
Was that Gina Davis?
It was Gina Davis.
Yes. Yeah, I can't
and
remember.
They were they together before that movie, or were they together after that movie? Like, they were together for a while.
I think after, maybe.
Because when you have someone's maggot, you know.
No, you're kind of bound, you know. Yep. You have to pay anyway, that maggot support.
That one up. I was like, damn it, that was a good one.
This has been a Canned Air production.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.